Father, what a joy again just to celebrate your grace, celebrate your mercy, celebrate your love, just celebrate you, Father, and to really celebrate your love in sending your Son Jesus, so that it's in and through him that we can experience, we can know you, we can be part of your family, and to live loved. So we want to thank you, Father, as again you share with us a way, your ways of how to live, even though we are citizens of your kingdom, yet we're on this earth, and you're showing us how to live here on this earth. And so we want to thank you. So this morning, as we, just as a family, sit together, we want to just want to first of all acknowledge that where two or three come in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, you are here with us. So we thank you for your ministry. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you're going to take from the very heart of the Father and reveal it to each and every one of us in a way that is applicable to each one in a unique way. It's different, it's personal, and we thank you, and we receive your comfort, we receive the breakthroughs, we receive the answers, and this we want to praise you through you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. This morning let's just quickly go back. The last 2 weeks we've been looking at Hebrews chapter 4, and remember, because of Jesus we've been justified, we've been declared not guilty, and because of Jesus you and I have access into this grace in which we now stand by faith. And so we're learning how to live daily with the grace of God. So it's like a receiving grace for today and not stealing the problems of tomorrow and bringing them into the day, but just learning now how to be established and living in the grace that is sufficient for today, and experience that, becoming aware of that, becoming conscious, and starting to acknowledge, okay, now I'm beginning to see the hand of God. I'm beginning to see God's involvement. I'm beginning to realize that I can recognize the hand of God in my day-to-day living. And he's teaching us now to be established in that. And so we've been looking at that. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And then last Sunday, we touched a little bit more on this one of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. And in verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. First of all, we notice here that God doesn't just remove Paul's problem. And many times we're saying, God, please remove my problem. But God says, no, no, your problem's there, but I'm going to give you grace so that you can successfully handle that problem. And that's what Paul is describing in his own life over here. So three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And so we looked at that, and we saw there last week there that the reason why, despite God not removing the thorn, the messenger of Satan that's tormenting him, God did not remove that from him, but he's instead of removing it, God gave him grace. Because in Paul's weakness in dealing with that problem, God's grace was sufficient for him to be victorious. And so now Paul boasts, and he says, therefore I boast all the more gladly about my weakness. And the reason why Paul can boast is because he's boasting from a particular vantage point, by having the right base of operation. The grace of God is the right base of operation that enables one to deal successfully with the problem that one is facing. And that's why grace is so important for us, because we need that base of operation, that advantage that you and I need. And so the grace of God gives us an advantage because we now are on that base of operation. The grace of God is a base of operation, and that's God's power, that God's ability, that's God's doing. It's by His Holy Spirit is busy doing things that you and I could not do in our own strength and our own ability. And so approach the throne of grace and we can be vulnerable, we can be real, we can share just our frustrations, we can just be ourselves in the presence of God, and by faith we now receive the grace, the mercy. The mercy is the hand of God. Remember, the grace is God's involvement, and the action side is the mercy. The application of God's grace is the mercy side, and we receive that. And so today we want to just look at something that Jesus is teaching on prayer, and we'll see how that fits into these portions of scriptures that I've just read now concerning the grace of God, and how we can boast because we have an advantage point now, the grace of God. I don't think we can live today without the grace of God. We'll be just like the rest of the world. We as children of God, we have access into this grace of God, and we're going to learn how to live our day-to-day lives totally dependent on the act of God, the involvement of God in our lives, and by faith we receive it. It comes through Jesus. Jesus brought into our reality what grace is really all about. And so we have access into that. And so our Father is inviting us to learn how to be established in that. Now in Luke, here in chapter 11, His disciples are asking Jesus to teach them how to pray. And so in Luke 11, Jesus is beginning to teach the disciples how to pray. And so he's going to be going deeper than just words. He's showing his disciples, he's teaching his disciples the dynamic side of prayer, what actually happens, the operation of prayer. The nature, the characteristics that is there behind the scenes, what's taking place when we come and we are praying, and that divine communication that's alive, it's living, it's active, the communication that you and I have with our Heavenly Father. And so Jesus now starts to open that up, and he says there to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. And so straight away, Jesus brings them to a starting point. In the Matthew translation over there, in the manuscripts, it says, Our Father. So straight away, Jesus is saying, guys, this is your starting point. Our Father. In other words, my Father and is your Father as well. So the way I communicate with my Heavenly Father and my Father with me, the way my Heavenly Father responds and deals with me, it's exactly the same with you as my disciples. And so Jesus is straight away bringing them to a starting point for us to know that His Father is our Father, and our Father is His Father. And what an incredible starting point. One of the incredible truths here in John 17, because I think for me, I think it's, you know, just in my own journey and just dealing with so many people, probably the number one the hindrance to really blossoming in life is not knowing that we are loved by the Father. So to know the Father's love and to live loved by the Father is a big thing. And so Jesus, in starting with that starting point, my Father loves me. And therefore, He's your Father and He loves you. And in John 17, He actually begins to share that. And there's a few scriptures in John 17, but I want to just go to this last one over here. Let me just get to where Jesus is speaking, and he starts to share about the incredible love that the Father has. And he says in verse 20, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, in the beginning of Jesus' prayer, he speaks to the Father and he says, Father, the world's going to hate them. But what's going to show them the reality of love? They, because of the intense hate towards us as believers, they're going to see the intense love that the Father has for us as believers. Then the world will know, you see, that the Father sent Jesus and that he has loved us just as he has loved his son Jesus. That's an incredible statement that our Lord Jesus is making. So when we are saying our Father, despite the world hating us, the evidence of the Father's love is the testimony to the world that hates us. They will know by the Father's love for you and I that the Father sent his son Jesus Christ. And just at the bottom end, at the end of his prayer, he goes on and he says in verse 26, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known. This is now you and I. So it's not just for the 12 disciples. And I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. And this is an incredible starting point. So when we pray, our Father, and sometimes it's good just to stop and say, Father, your love for your son is the same love for me. The way you ministered to your son, it's the same. So we're starting at the correct starting point by faith in knowing that the Father loves us. Jesus is going to continually make the Father's love known because he's within us by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's an amazing way of starting a prayer. And so he goes on and he says, hallowed be your name. And in other words, he's saying, God, your glory, let that be the center in which I live my life. My life must live in such a way that your name is completely glorified in whatever I do and whatever I say. Okay? And so that's the heartbeat that we are praying. Same with, because what did Jesus speak about? Because Jesus lives for his Father, he remains in his Father's love. The Father loves him. And so whatever Jesus did was a total obedience to the Father, and he remained in the incredible love of the Father. And likewise with you and I, when we say our Father and your kingdom come, that's the reality. Father, what are you saying? What's your will? I want to live my life that brings you glory. And that's how we remain in the Father's love. Read that in John 14 and 15. It's very strong over there. And then we're not going to go into detail over here, but I'm just quickly going through this. Give us, he says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in the Matthew translation over there. Give us each day our daily bread. And you remember, if you go back here in the context of your kingdom come and your name be glorified, what did Jesus say when the people asked them about food? And he says, my food is to do the will of the Father. So when we are praying, give us our daily bread, it's not just only our physical needs. But we are saying, Father, give us today what your will is so that we can fulfill and bring in the reality of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is. So our daily bread is actually doing and fulfilling the Father's will here on earth as it is in heaven. And then Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things shall be added unto you. So our natural physical provisions are guaranteed to come and for our Father to do that because he truly loves us. And then forgive our sins and so forth, as we also forgive those who sin against us and lead us not into temptation. Okay, so I'm not going into it, but This is the verse I want to just mention today. Then Jesus said to them, because he's teaching on prayer, and here we start to see a prayer that goes beyond friendship. And so that this prayer, that this what Jesus is teaching is a prayer that is applicable to both the unsaved and to the saved, to the friendship and to those that do not have friendship with God. And we see that, for instance, in Luke 18, again with the persistent widow, where the widow has no relationship with the judge, but she keeps on coming, and she and Jesus says, oh, here's a parable to show that you should always pray and not give up. Come to the throne room of grace, see, and receive grace, receive mercy and grace in your time of need. And that time is God's appointed time when he comes through. And so while as we're waiting for the breakthrough, as we're waiting for the mercy, as we're waiting for the grace to manifest into our lives, Jesus says, now I need to teach you that we keep on praying and not give up. And so he gives that incredible example of this widow that needs justice and keeps on coming to this judge, asking for justice, and the judge ignore, refusing. And then finally, he says, even though I don't fear God or care for what people think, yet because this widow keeps on bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And this is what Jesus says, listen to what the unjudged says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting him off? No, I tell you, he will see that they get justice quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And so this is the reality of why persistent prayer is so important, because the genuine God faith is being established in our lives. The renewal, you know, we fight the fight of faith. That fighting is the renewing of the mind. It's appropriating the truth. It's learning how to stand in the realm of grace. What it is to know that I'm loved by the Father. All of that is part of what we will call the fighting the fight of faith. And so in this here, Jesus gives that example back to Luke 11. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. So straight away we see here that he has a friendship, but it's very inconvenient. It's midnight. And so there's this inconvenience, this bad timing that is interrupting, that's coming in play with this friendship for both of them, because here this visitor comes and midnight, and now this poor guy's got nothing to feed the visitor. He's got to practice hospitality. And so he goes to his friend and wakes up his friend. And so it's very inconvenient. Okay. And that's important, because we're speaking about something here when sometimes we may feel, well, it's pretty inconvenient to bother God about this problem, whatever it may be, and the timing is not right and all that kind of thing that goes through our thoughts. And he goes and he says over there, and suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. And don't get up and give, I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. And so here we see this word shameless audacity is unashamed boldness. It is sort of not being ashamed to persist and to keep on knocking on the door, to keep on persisting. It's not nagging in that negative sense. It's like this boldness, this unashamed boldness where you can come, you can knock on the door, and you can keep on knocking, keep on asking. And that's what Jesus is helping us to understand an aspect of prayer that goes beyond just in a friendship of coming in when the time is convenient, but to know that with God we can come to God when we may think, well, God is not the convenient time. We can come to God with this unashamed boldness. We have access into, that's why in Romans chapter 4, that we can come with confidence to the throne of God. It's capturing the same concept here of being unashamedly bold in the presence of God because of us being in Christ Jesus. And so he's speaking to us over here about this incredible boldness that we can come to the Father and we can now ask. But don't stop. See, because this boldness is the persistent side of it. This is where we keep on. We keep on. See, that's why Jesus said with the widow, will I see faith when I come back to the earth? So faith is being established that our Father is a good Father. Our Father loves us. Our Father knows our needs. And I'm coming to the Father and I'm asking him. And we are bold in coming to him because we know that through Jesus, we have been blessed in every way through Jesus. And so we are bold in approaching him in our prayer. And he says this, I tell you that even though he did not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Very important to stop and read these words. So I say to you, now Jesus now takes this lesson and now he applies it to, I'm teaching you how to pray. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and it's, remember in the Greek, yes, keep on asking, keep on seeking. It's that persistent, continuous asking, seeking. You know, often we say we just need to ask God and faith is enough and we receive. There is a time for that, but there's also a time for persistent prayer. And now, we are now in a time of persistent prayer, of being unashamedly bold in the presence of God, praying for our communities, praying for our nation, praying for our families, praying for ourselves. This is the time because we're entering into what I'll speak just now about, a mega grace. And this is the time for us to be unashamedly bold in our request with God in touching a nation that is evil and wicked and sinful. See, we've got to now step into this unashamedly boldness because of what Christ has already done for humanity. Okay, and so he says, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you for everyone. And that's why this everyone it applies to the unsaved as well, that is seeking God, are you real? I need to know if you're real. And we've heard many testimonies of people on the journey. God, are you very real? And that, and God comes through because they're seeking, they're asking, they're knocking to find if God is real. And God comes through. For anyone who asks, receive. And the one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And so here we see the promise of God. And so he's teaching us, guys, let's not just pray once and give up. We need to become bold in coming to our Father, not being ashamed, not being embarrassed that we come in to ask again and again and again. But with the boldness, we are bold because we have a faith in what God is sharing. We believe this is what God is sharing with us today. We are absolutely convinced by the Holy Spirit, this is the invitation. He's speaking to us today to step into this kind of unashamedly boldness in speaking to the Father and not giving up, but to keep on. And he says over there, which of your fathers? And so now he's now sharing, remember the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, okay, give us today our daily bread. And so he's again now taking the teaching, okay, let's go back to our Father. And he's comparing earthly fatherhood with God, his Father and our Father in heaven. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And this, guys, I find is a now word, because the answer that Jesus gives his disciples in meeting the need is the Holy Spirit. Not the bread, it's the Holy Spirit. Very, very important that. Because this is the invitation. Where do we rather want 100 rand from God, or do we want the working of the Holy Spirit to enable us to always have enough? See, do we rather want something to meet our physical need right now, or do we want the ministry of the Holy Spirit to empower us, to give us the insight, the wisdom, the breakthroughs, so that we don't have to continue living in the reality of the problem, but now we can have an advantage point, the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit brings the grace of God. You cannot separate the Holy Spirit and the grace and the mercy of God. Or do we rather want the Holy Spirit, knowing now that we have an advantage, we're on an advantage base of operation to be able to successfully go through our day-to-day situations that we face on a daily basis. And so he's helping us now to look beyond our physical need and to rather say, Father, I'm asking for the Holy Spirit, because I know. And the question God asked me in this is that, do we really want the Holy Spirit? That was a question he asked me. Or do we really just want God to meet our needs? Because as a babe, we cry out milk, bread, we cry out dummy, you know, and that. But now as mature, there's mature meat. And so we are being weaned off the milk, we've been weaned off ourselves and our own needs, etc. And we are now stepping into, Father, your kingdom come, hallowed be your name. You see, your will be done here on earth. Give us our daily bread. May your Holy Spirit share your ways and empower us to be able to fulfill your will and your ways. And that, and so, do we really want just to get the physical needs, or do we want the Holy Spirit? Do we want more from the Holy Spirit? And that is the emphasis right now that God is busy sharing with us as his family. So when Jesus speaks about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, this is what we are asking. We are asking for the Holy Spirit. And so because the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the counsel, the power, the authority, the reality of the Holy Spirit it enables us to be able to get answers, to be able to get solutions, to be able to get God's idea, to be able to break through in life. But grace is relying on God's Spirit to enable us, to empower us. So we're moving from our own ability to get bread. Now we're moving into God's ability to get bread far more than what we have asked for. That's why he says over there, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so we're stepping into learning how to get the more from God. Unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine, according to his power. That's the grace of God operating. His power that so powerfully works within us, so that he is glorified. Hallowed be your name. That he is glorified in us and in his son Jesus Christ, because we're coming in his name, in Jesus has promised. And so when this is fulfilled, we know that what Jesus has said is real. The Father is glorified. Okay. And so that's incredibly important. Now, as we close, just an example of this, because he's really wanting us to rather seek the Holy Spirit and receive the Holy Spirit, because there's the answer for day-to-day living. That's the reality of grace manifesting. Remember, Jesus came and he is full of grace and truth. The Holy Spirit takes from Jesus and makes it known to you and I. And it's important for us to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and receive from the Holy Spirit the help and everything that we need. That's the journey of grace. That's the platform. And so when we are totally reliant on the Holy Spirit, we're staying in grace. We are rooted, we are established in grace. As long as you and I are depending on the ministry of the Holy Spirit on a day-to-day basis. And that's why we must learn to be established in the grace for today, because it's in the today that you and I learn to be conscious of the working of the Holy Spirit, relying on the Holy Spirit. And it's just that simple prayer all the time, Holy Spirit, I need your help now. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're going to give me insight. It's just that communicating with the Holy Spirit. I receive your help. I receive your wisdom in this. And that's just the day-to-day thing. And at the end of the day, you will see how the day was better than what you expected, because now it's God's involvement, the favor of God, the grace of God operating. And so the disciples now are being persecuted. Remember, Jesus says the world's going to hate you, but they're going to know. They're going to know that my Father has sent me, because they're going to see how much my Father loves us. And so this is the reality that the disciples are going through. And so they're being persecuted and all sorts. And Peter is then speaking to them over there. So let me just get to the. And so they get back to the disciples that have been praying for Peter and John, and they start to share what the chief priests had said to them and all the persecution that they're going through. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you have made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit to the mouth of your servant, our father David. And he quotes that scripture over there. And indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles of people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom he anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now look at this. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak with words with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. See, let's go back to that persistent prayer. Here, these disciples are not looking for comfort and not looking to have a holiday and just go and relax now. No, they are now want the Holy Spirit. They are wanting, they're knocking, they're coming to God and they're seeking God. We need more of your Holy Spirit. We need more from your Holy Spirit. Okay? And that's what they're doing there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's their heart. And he says there, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So here we see how their prayers is being answered. How? The Father is giving them the Holy Spirit. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit, you see, you can't get more of the person Holy Spirit. We have been given the Holy Spirit, but we can get more from the Holy Spirit. That's a big difference. So you can't get more of him as a person, but we can get more from him. So now his disciples are wanting more from the Holy Spirit. They want more of the manifestation of the victory of Jesus to be made known. And that's what we are asking. We've got the Holy Spirit. Christ had the fullness of the deity dwelling in him, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's many examples in Scripture about the disciples continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, they're in a situation and they just need more from him. They need more of his wisdom, more of his power, more of his strength, more of his help, more of his comfort. Whatever the need is, they're needing more from the Holy Spirit. And so that's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God boldly. And then what happens over there? All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possession was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, and there was no needy persons among them. So here we see what's taking place. This word over here, and God's grace was powerfully at work with them over there. This is what the Greek speaks about, mega grace. Here we see, as they pressed in, asking the Holy God Father, give us from the Holy Spirit. We need your mega grace. We need your mega grace. Look at the evidence of God's mega grace. Here we see unemployment being dealt with. We're seeing poverty being dealt with. We're seeing relationships being dealt with. We're seeing so many things taking place as the evidence of God's grace. See, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. I like that word, in them all. And so this is the invitation for you and I to learn today to live in the grace for today so that we can start being established. We can start learning more and more to rely on the Holy Spirit and now to receive from the Holy Spirit the ability, whatever is needed, that it comes from Him. Not from our own ability anymore, from Him. He gives us ability. He empowers us, and we will then have thoughts that we didn't have before. We step in that by faith because we realize, Holy Spirit, you're giving me an idea that I did not think of before. You step into that. That's the realm of grace that you're now cooperating with, and you start to see the evidence taking place of the mercy of God and what grace looks like. So, I think that this, for me, this is an exciting time because God is helping us to get onto a particular vantage point, and that is the operation of operating in His grace. We need that, and He loves us, and He's sharing with us so that we know how to live in today's time, having an advantage over the economy, having an advantage over whatever is taking place in our lives, because we believe. We're lying now. We're accepting God's grace. We're receiving God's grace because God gives grace to the humble. The humble is God. I've tried so much in my own strength. It hasn't worked. Now, Lord, I just surrender and I need your help. And now, day to day, Holy Spirit, today, help me. I need you. I rely on you. Share with me. Give me thoughts. Give me understanding. Give me the strength. Give me the help that I need, whatever it may be. That's the journey we're learning. And as we get established in that, so every trial that comes, don't expect God to remove it, because this is a time where God gives grace to help us to successfully manage those trials in our lives. Okay, that's the advantage point that you and I have. So let's give thanks for His grace that has come through Jesus as we just have communion again together and just celebrating how through Christ Jesus we can be unashamedly bold in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Him not counting sin against us because through His Son Jesus, His atonement has been made. We've been justified just as if we have never sinned. That's what it's all about. So Father, we want to celebrate that you are helping us to approach you with this unashamedly boldness and to be persistent in coming to you. You're not going to get tired of us coming to you. But as we're coming to you, Father, our lives are being changed. You are teaching us these valuable lessons that is being established in our lives. It's good for us. And so we can rely totally on your timing and when you're going to answer and give more than what we have asked for because so much is taking place within us and we are growing and being established in so much of the reality of being loved by you. So thank you, Jesus, that you have opened the way and we can celebrate the power of your blood. We can celebrate the power of your body and your resurrection. Opening up the heavenly realms for us. And we want to thank you. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. so that we can live in the reality of grace and mercy. Holy Spirit, that we can receive from you more of your abilities, more of your strength. And we want to thank you that you dwell in us. We're not wanting more of you as a person, you know, because you are in us, but just to receive from you more and more often, more often, more often, more often from you, as we learn how to be established in this grace and how to remain in the grace that we have received as a gift. So Father, thank you. We eat and we celebrate in the name and through your Son Jesus. Amen. Amen. Enjoy communion with God.